Bix, The Draftees by Emma Quayle. Now, it's a story of how five boys made it to the AFL National Draft. A fascinating insight and a great read. It's in all good bookstores now. Get it for Father's Day. Emma, thanks for your time.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on the book. Now, let's start. Give us the name of the five lads.
Well, we'll start. We've got Isaac Heaney, who's at the Swans. Peter Wright went to the Gold Coast at number 8. Clem Smith at Carlton, Tom Lambs at West Coast, and then lucky last is Adelaide's own Jake Lever.
Okay, so how'd you identify for the book these five boys?
I sort of looked at their... I spoke to a lot of people about them just to get a sense of who might have some different challenges lying ahead of them last season. I had to follow them through the whole year, so you never can tell what exactly will bob up. But, you know, they're quite different personalities. Some are a bit more chatty, some are more thoughtful. Isaac obviously had the situation where he was going through the Swans Academy and was always going to end up at his club a little earlier than the others, who had to sit there and sweat it out on draft night. And Jake, you know, was coming back from a pretty major knee injury as well. So I just thought a mixture of personalities, a mixture of potential challenges and different backgrounds, it all added up to slightly different stories. And at the end of it, they all wanted the same thing, of course, which was to get their name called out.
Now, Emma, whilst you do follow the progress of these five young men, the other unbelievable insight is the access that you got from the St Kilda Football Club, and you were basically sitting in the fly on the wall stuff with all their recruiting meetings. They call it the war room. You were in there. How amazing was that, and how did you possibly get that access?
Yeah, it was awesome. They were really, really good. I spoke to them at the start of the year. I thought they'd be an interesting case study just because they got so close to winning a premiership and then sort of pretty much gone into free fall and their list had fallen apart a little bit. So, yeah, they were really good. They let me come down for maybe once a month and sit on a meeting. I did sit in on their pre-trade week meeting as well and then went through after trade week everything that had happened and not happened. So, yeah, I absolutely love that. Being someone who loves recruiting and loves the draft, like even I thought, how good is this? So I'm getting to sit here and listen to them talk about the players and their strategy and things that they liked and didn't like. So it was good education for me as well, just to see what goes on in those mysterious war rooms.
Now, were you able to get access to everything, or was there some stuff that was off the record?
We did. No, they were really good. They let me have it all, basically, and then we went through it afterwards. But they didn't even really want to remove everything. They just, I think, wanted to show their fans how much work they're putting into rebuilding the list and putting the team back together and so pretty much what's there is what happened and what was said. So, I'm very lucky to have had the chance to do that.
Oh, I found it fascinating when they were discussing, particularly trade week and different players from different clubs. It was outstanding. You are someone who's had enormous experience around the draft. Were you surprised about anything in the process that maybe you weren't aware of?
Not necessarily. I guess it's just the things, maybe it's the things that don't end up happening that we never hear about. Like, obviously, during trade period, you hear different players' names get thrown up and potential deals get touted. But just to look at what they thought might happen and then how it panned out and the little differences. And I found that really interesting because there's so much work that goes into things that might not ever happen. And even with the draft, like they had, what, 4 picks and they spoke for so many hours about so many players and then they get a couple of them at the end of it all. So there's a lot of work that probably actually never amounts to anything because you just don't have that many picks. So that's probably an interesting element of it.
Crows traded that draft. They slid down the draft because they thought their man would be there at 14. Their man was Jake Lever. Do you believe them?
I think so. Of course I do.
You think so or you know so? Because there's a big debate because Nakia Cockatoo was the fancied one. The Crows passed on him. Geelong got him. Crows got Jake Lever. So you reckon that was always going to happen, Emma?
Well, possibly. It's hard to know, isn't it? But I know that sort of Nakia was starting by the trade period to sort of creep up the order a little bit. So they couldn't have made that trade knowing or thinking that he would definitely be there. And I just think back to I went away to Europe with the AFL Academy Easter of 2014, and Jake was on that trip. And I just think back and think, I don't know, you could just kind of tell that Hamish, their recruiting manager, did really like him. So I think he was pretty happy when Jake was there. And everything that he said about Jake has come in true so far. So it's been good to see him slot in and play pretty good footy early on.
We're speaking to Emma Quayle. I've got a book out called The Draftee. You've got to pick it up. It is a fascinating read. Now you're basically the list manager with these boys because you meet the families, the coaches, the teachers. And because we're South Australian, we'll hone in on Jake. How impressive is he? He has won us over in such a short time. Such a mature young lad for such a young lad.
Oh, he's brilliant. I knew he would too. As soon as they picked him, I thought, oh, the fans will love him as soon as they see him in action. Yeah. Because I love the way that he's this really angry, desperate competitor. Like, he'll just knock over anybody in his way. But he's so composed at the same time, so he just sort of want the ball in his hand. So it's a nice combination. But, yeah, talking to him last year, I mean, he'd done his knee and he was so good with his rehab. He was working a full-time job as a teacher's assistant. He was so organised and professional. He was always going to have a good shot of making it. And, yeah, I think when he got there, I think he thought, let me at it. I'm ready to go. I've done the rehab. And then he sort of got pulled back a little bit. And, no, okay, we're taking it back and building it up slowly. So that would have frustrated him enormously. But I think it's really worked well. Because when he came in, he was ready to go, wasn't he?
Interesting because you do a bit of a follow-up 6 months down the track and just touch base with all the boys. And you had a chat with Jake and he's really surprised everyone because he recounted a little meeting he had with Phil Walsh in a cafe early on in the season and he was getting a little bit impatient about when am I going to play. And Phil Walsh basically said, look, maybe towards the end of the season, you might get a bit of a look in, or perhaps you'll just spend the whole year in the SANFL. And in the end, he came in and played by round six. So clearly he just progressed so quickly and went beyond even Phil Walsh's expectations.
Yeah, I know I know how much Jake loved Walshy and respected Walshy. And I'm not sure many people could have said to him, we're going to pull you back. You might not play and have Jake handle that well, but he must have just told him the message in such a good way that Jake thought, yep, this is going to be good for me. I'll go back. I'll just concentrate on playing again and see what happens from there. And, it's worked well for him.
What about you spent time with all the families. As it got closer to draft day, did you find yourself getting a bit nervous for these young men?
I'll tell you what, I was extremely nervous on draft night when I was sitting there and Clem Smith was still on the board and it was pick 45, pick 50, pick 55. And I was getting that stinking feeling in my stomach. Oh, what if he misses out?
You'd have to rip the book up.
Well, it probably ended up being a bit of good drama because he did have to sit there and think, oh, my God, I'm not going to get picked. So I was pretty relieved to hear his name out. I would have hated for him to miss out. But I guess that's sort of part of the night in a way, isn't it? Some of them kind of know they're going to get picked very high and they might not know exactly which club, but they have that feeling they won't have to wait for too long, whereas Clem was sitting at home on the couch thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? No one's going to choose me. And then all of a sudden, 2 seconds it takes for Carlton to call his name and he's moving to Melbourne and getting into it. So it's a pretty weird night like that for the boys. Hard to comprehend.
The other really interesting part, the fact that you spent all that time with St Kilda in their list management meetings and the fact that they had the number one pick, I was surprised to read that they really seriously considered trading that number one pick for, another couple of lower picks.
Yeah, I think they were really open to that. It was just going to depend on which picks it was. And I suppose every draft's different in that, you know, the recruiters might think, okay, there's a really good top six and that's the best group and we will need our picks in there. They might think it's a best 10 or a best 12. It varies year to year, but I think if the Bulldogs had traded Griffin but not got Tom Boyd back in, they might have ended up going to St Kilda and said, can we have number one for 5 and 6 or whatever it was that they had? And I think they thought the Giants would make a stronger pitch than they did, but I think they always wanted to keep it, but they had an open mind in terms of if we get a good offer, it's worth looking at.
Emma, you're a draft expert, okay? We call you that because I know that's a fact. Emma Quayle, we're talking to. Now, if you were starting a club from scratch, okay, and you got first pick on the list manager, who is it?
Yep.
Who's the best list manager? Who is the best list manager out there?
Don't I have to say that Adelaide or Port Adelaide?
No. We'd love to know.
I know my audience.
you don't want to pick a name?
It's hard, isn't it? There's so many that do a good job and you don't know all those little ins and outs of how they go inside. But you look at the clubs that have used the draft really well over the years. Everyone talks about Geelong, don't they? That they've, they've had a couple of really big drafts that have paid off.
Graham Wright at the Hawks has done pretty well. The players have been able to attract from other clubs, perhaps?
Yeah, I generally try and look at, okay, what have they given up and what have they gotten in? And, you know, you look at that. And if we can maybe just talk about the two Adelaide clubs, I think Adelaide, given, you know, they had some pretty hefty penalties, I think they've got through that pretty well. And when you look at their list now, they're a good age and playing some pretty good footy. And the powers are saying they've probably been a little bit disappointing this year, but they've got a lot of talent on that list. And I think if they get everything going next year, they should be up there again. So
who's the dud club? Give us a daddy.
Club.
Give us a daddy, Emma.
Well,
come on.
I think you just have to look at...
Demons.
Well, you have to look at... I suppose you have to look at Carlton because of where they are.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not winning games. And you look at how many... how many draft picks they make. They've never really had that massive investment in the draft where they've gone and made 5, 6 or 7 picks and just got the numbers right. Mm. They've gone with 3 or 4 and, you know, if you're only picking 3 or 4 players, you pretty much need all of them to work out if you're going to move up the ladder. So, and Melbourne's probably another one that's shown you that, you know, simply having the picks probably isn't enough if you're not getting the right players and developing them in the right way as well. So, they're probably a little, there's probably some lessons in those two teams.
Talk to us about Paddy McCartan. He was the number one pick. They agonised over him and they end up going with him. How have you seen his progress? And do you think it's about where St Kilda thought it was going to be?
Yeah, I think so. I know that at the start of the year, they were keen for him just to play a lot of games in a row. He had quite a disrupted year last year. He was in and out with a few niggling injuries. So, and being a key forward as well, I think they wanted to be fairly patient with him. So I thought with each game he played, he started to show a little bit more. And you know, another pre-season, he'll get fitter again. And, he's got everything you want in the key forward, I think. Like, just with that competitiveness as well. That'll take him a long way. So, we were discussing earlier that the stuff with Boyd, it's just not easy to get a shot at a tall forward these days unless you're willing to use a draft pick on one or pay them a lot of money. So all those things considered, I think he was a pretty good choice.
And finally, what's the depth of this year's draft looking like?
Well, no one's super excited about it. I think the first 10 or 12 players look pretty good, and then it maybe starts to fall away after there. So I'll be interested to see if those clubs towards the end of the first round keep their picks or are open to trading or what they do. But I don't know. There's always players in there. They always find them late. The recruiters can be a little bit pessimistic at times, I reckon, early in the year. And then they're all looking for the gems late in it. So it probably just evens out a bit. I don't think clubs will be taking stacks of selections this year. It might not be as long a draft as last year, but there's always good players.
Emma, congratulations on the book. We do follow you as a senior writer for The Age. It's called The Draftee by Emma Quayle. Now, it's a story of how 5 boys made it to the AFL National Draft. It is a great read. It's in all good bookstores now. Emma, thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Look, she's magnificent. She knows her stuff. The other thing I mentioned about it, the access to the back room was absolutely outstanding. If you love the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, that's what it reminded me of. Yeah. I love that movie and just the machinations that go on behind the scenes. It's a really, really riveting read.
Emma Quayle, our guest.